You're in Victoria, aren't you, Thanos?
Yeah, Melbourne, Victoria.
Okay, perfect. Well, what I'll do then is I'll start with you then on the first question because it makes sense because you're in Victoria, and then just go across like that, and then we'll just blag it.
Yep.
But jump in at any point, guys. Do you know what I mean? If there's something that you don't need to try and be polite. The first episode, everyone was very polite.
What's everyone's name? I know Gareth's name, but what's everyone else's name?
Leilani.
I have to write these down. And what else? And then gentleman to the right.
Vinny Eastwood.
Vinny. So Leilani, Vinny, and...
Naomi.
Leilani, Vinny, Naomi, and Gareth.
I know Gareth's name. He didn't just call some stranger. Leilani. We've got to write these down.
Yeah, we're ready to go, yeah. Okay. Hello and welcome to another episode of In the News Right Now. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Leilani. We have an Australia and New Zealand special for you this week. We're joined from Sydney by journalist and activist Naomi Cook.
We're also joined by Australian podcaster Thanos Panayidis and New Zealand comedian and podcaster Vinny Eastwood.
Before we meet our panel, let's look at the stories making the headlines. First of all, from Australia, Victorian government allows gender transition without parental consent.
Aussies demand Steve Irwin's face is put on the $5 note instead of King Charles III.
The Guardian in the UK asks, what's behind the mystery of thousands of excess deaths this summer?
And sticking in the UK, the stunning and brave BBC boasts that it gets a vaccine-injured support group with 250,000 members removed from Facebook.
And finally, from Canada, high school defends transgender teacher with large prosthetic breasts.
For anyone at home that's seen those images, I might be showing my age, but for me, all I was thinking of is that is going to be some killer backache. Some people at home might be thinking, well, it's not necessarily a news story of importance, and I guess it's not, but it kind of opens up the conversation to what people kind of feel is appropriate when it comes to children.
Absolutely. Let's welcome Naomi, Thanos and Vinny. Thank you for joining us.
Thank
Cheers
you.
Cheers for joining us.
Guys.
How is everyone? Is everyone okay?
Well, you know, I'm borderlining on fabulous, but other than that, like shit.
Well, you look you look fabulous, mate. What I'll do, I'll start with you, Thanos, because obviously you're in Victoria. Gender reassignment without parental consent, that is so far over my head, it doesn't even bear thinking about it. But what's your take on it?
Can I just say something before we go to the question? Do you know what the number plate in Victoria used to say on the back of the number plate? It would say Victoria, the place to be.
And it ain't anymore.
That used to be our number plate. Yeah. Very interesting, right? The place to be. So I asked Gareth before this whole show started tonight, can we swear? And I'm going to address this firstly with a little bit of an expression. What the fuck is wrong with the world is my expression when it comes to gender transition without parental consent. So let me get this right. A child can't obtain alcohol until the age of 18 because it might, injure their brain in some way, shape, or form. But they can choose, without the consent of a parent, to be able to mutilate their body, chop body parts off, and become a male or a female of their choice, because at that time, that's where their mind's at in terms of what their identity is. And we've all grown up through our adolescence and stuff. You don't even know who you are as a child or, as a teenager a lot of the time. And you're still discovering yourself. So during that discovery phase, they're actually letting people solidify who they are within themselves, what their identity is. How many women you know who were tomboys in high school and become super girly girls when they're out of high school. And now people get to just embrace that moment in their life and just get to choose. It's like you need to ask a parental consent for your child to go on an excursion just in case they hurt themselves. But yet a child can choose whether or not they can choose their gender. I'll say it once, I'll say it again. What the fuck is wrong with the world, Gareth?
It is bizarre. You made this point last week where you said you were a tomboy when you were younger.
I was very much a tomboy when I was younger. And it's scary to think they probably would have said to me, Leilani, I don't know, are you sure you're in the right body? And had me questioning, because I was so, you know, and look, I'm a girly girl now, you know. So yeah.
I got something
What do you think, Leo? Oh,
I'm sorry. I have to jump in here because Whanganui Girls High School, where my partner went to, was passing around questionnaires asking the girls why you should strut around parading your heterosexuality. Don't you think it would make people who aren't like you feel bad about themselves? And questions like, how do you know you're heterosexual unless you've tried a gay relationship? This is we found this out this year that they're passing this around. This is the premier high school in Whanganui, not an hour's drive from the capital city of Wellington. So this is infesting everything. What the fuck is wrong with the world? It's run by child trafficking Satanists who want to destroy manhood and masculinity and femininity so that they can control us all in our androgynous soup. That's basically about what I can sum it up as.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? I saw a very brave doctor actually in the United States. It was shared by Gays Against Groomers, and they were basically saying in the tweet, you know, look after this woman, because the sort of alphabet mafia are definitely going to go for her. But she was making the point that actually what people tend to think is like gender reassignment. So, you know, cutting bits off, that's permanent, obviously. You know, it's gonna, no amount of super glue is going to pop it back on. But actually, that's why puberty blockers are a good idea, because actually you take these puberty blockers, they stop you for a bit. So it's almost like, this is how it's sold anyway, that it's almost like a pause button while you reassess and try and, you know, come out of that stage or double down on that stage. And she was saying, but puberty blockers cause infertility.
Yeah, they're sterilization drugs, you know, that it's not just, oh, we're going to put something on pause. They've literally been used to sterilize people. And paedophiles, the same drug, you know,
that they used to. It's extraordinary.
What do you think, Naomi, about all of this?
Yeah, that's right. I actually Googled what the NHS definition was of gender dysphoria, okay? And it says it describes a sense of unease that a person may have because of a mismatch between their biological sex and their gender identity, okay? So this sense of dis-ease or dissatisfaction may be so intense that it may lead to depression or anxiety and have a harmful impact upon life. So it's talking about health. It's talking about mental health. So we're talking about health. Why then are we gonna jump into surgical interventions and medical interventions that also have permanent or long-lasting impacts upon health, if it's just about health?
Well, this is what we hear from a lot of detransitioners, isn't it? Because they'll say, look, I really had mental health problems and those weren't addressed, and they went straight and kind of pushed me through the system. And there's a lot to do with money, the fact that big pharma are involved again. You've got the operations and that, and then the constant drugs that they'll be put on for the rest of their lives.
So I'm just thinking about this.
Pharma being involved again.
This infinite acceptance of people's mental health issues. I mean, are we going to, like, say, have somebody with a borderline schizophrenia or borderline personality disorder jumping on their desk in the office space going, wow, what the? But before we do something, look, if you can see crazy, just go like, okay, that's cool. It's not an example to follow, and it's not something you necessarily need to just tolerate and propagate and so on and so forth, and punish anybody who doesn't like it or doesn't understand it. This is a complete misnomer. What we're talking about here is basically eugenics. How can you have a country that can defend itself if it's got no real men and no real women left, if a country that does invades them? At this point, we're experiencing a form of slow, ever-saturating, full-spectrum invasion of the human genome, the human psyche, and the human physical reality, aren't we?
I think.
Can I chime in there with
Yeah, sorry, jump in, Fanos.
Okay, so does everyone remember when they first brought in equal rights for gay marriage? And they said it was all about just equal rights for gay marriage because the gay people deserve to get married just as much as everyone else, right? And be recognized within their union, within each other. That it's a beautiful thing and they should be able to do that.
As my gay friend,
when they did it,
as my gay friend Paul Carruthers told me, he said, absolutely, I agreed with it. Gay people deserve to be as miserable as the rest of us. In terms of being married.
Thanos frozen.
Thanos? Oh, no.
He's frozen with a very stern with a very stern face.
Thanos has lost the Infinity Stones, ladies and gentlemen. Like, go ahead.
He's frozen with a happier look.
Yeah. See, that's an improvement.
I don't know if that's Thanos' connection there, but while Thanos obviously tries to sort that connection, it's interesting, though.
See, it got even better.
At the NHS, definition, because the NHS definition of gender dysphoria 2 years ago described it as a mental illness, and they took that off. They changed the definition. Because that's what the NHS has done for 2 years, is just changed the definition of stuff, basically.
Everything's having the definition changed.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that better?
You're back.
Is that working better?
It was for just a moment.
Yes, you're back now, Thanos, mate.
In the equal...
Oh, apparently Thanos ran into Tony Stark.
You know what? They don't want me talking about this on the internet. That's what it is, right?
You're back now. You're properly back now. This is it.
They introduced the Safe Schools program where they started bringing in all this fucked up shit that they were teaching in school. They brought that in after they did the equal rights thing and they passed the Equal Marriage Act, right? They brought in Safe Schools program. And that's when they started talking about it's okay to recognize as something else. And, you know, it was all about inclusion and everything's okay. But then what they did was they went from just suggesting this way of being to you're a bigot if you spoke against it.
Yeah.
And you're a radical now. You're starting to radicalize yourself if you're teaching children the value of, no, you're a male or a female and you're well within your masculine, you're well within your feminine. Now you're seen as someone who's not inclusive because you're doing this, but it's all about exactly what Vinny said. It's about going after the family unit and getting rid of the women that actually hold the family together and keep it strong, and the men who fight the wars. They're getting rid of the competition. If I may
continue your point and to agree with you, is that you've touched on a very salient point here. They're trying to take away the family's ability to A, take care of themselves, and a society's ability to A, take care of itself physically, right? And thus, what is your alternative at that point when all of your safety rests upon the state, complete and utter dependence on the state, therefore you'll do whatever the state tells you? It's going to be like living in daddy's house.
Yeah. And the last 2 years have just been, they've underlined that.
And you know what I've seen in California as well? The governor of California actually is allowing children to be taken away from parents if parents don't agree. So not only can they do it without consent, the kids can be taken away and put in rehomed if the parents don't agree. So it's, you know, it's the state taking your kids, and it's becoming very much like Brave New World. I've just started reading that. I'm 2 chapters in. I'm like, whoa, this is like, this could be where it's going if people just do not see what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting one day to walk down the street to see two people in an orange jumpsuit look to each other and go, it's good to be gamma, and gamma is good. Oh. The brainwashing and the thing, you know, I'm half expecting to see a group of kids walking down the street one down trying to play Find the Zipper from Brave New World. This is a scary situation that we're getting into, and sci-fi has really prepared me quite a lot for it because I'm a bit of a sci-fi geek. And the interesting thing about it is when you look into conspiracy and when you look at sci-fi madness and futures and things like that, there's an interplay and an interconnect where they show you maybe 10, 20 years in advance, conceptually, metaphorically, what they're already doing right then and are going to bring out publicly and disclose later on. So if we look at the dystopic worlds that have been created by Hollywood over the last few years, the excessive government control, apocalyptic scenarios, and things of that nature, technology going crazy against people. I see simultaneous crises being built up in the public consciousness so that when people are thinking about it, those things start to manifest even faster. It's like we're in some interplay of galactic witchcraft.
It's interesting you mentioned sci-fi, actually, because I think that now, if you look back at some of the old films and you think, you know, like They Live, for instance, and things like that, it's like, man, you knew what was going on then. I'm sure Roddy Piper actually said that that was a documentary just after he made
Demolition
it,
Man.
Rather than a film. It's crazy. Moving on then, so Naomi, Steve Irwin, is this just a joke or is it genuine that people in Australia think, yeah, stick Steve Irwin on instead of Charles III? I could get behind that.
Yeah, I don't know, but I love that article. Like, there were some amazing ideas for alternatives. And I don't know, because you're not obviously Aussie, you may not get that, but Kath and Kim, oh my goodness. Somebody even mentioned, why not put a bunny snag on the $5 note? So I know this may not be funny to a British audience, but for an Aussie audience, this is absolutely hilarious. So I love it. Another recommendation was also Alf Stewart from Neighbours. You guys would know Alf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just happy they're talking about cash still. Part of me expected them to go, when she's gone, just we won't bother printing a load more money because of the cost of living and the expenditure, so we'll just get rid of cash. That's what I thought might happen.
Yeah.
The cynicism in this one is strong.
Do you know what? I love Steve-O, and it actually makes me quite happy. I was just waiting for everyone else to say something, so I'd love to see his face on even one of our fivers, to be honest.
Yeah, I remember someone once sent me a video and they were like, this is Steve Irwin, you know, the video of him getting killed by the stingray, and I was like, that's disgusting, I don't want to watch that, and I couldn't take my eyes off it, and all I could see was these stingray swimming, and then all of a sudden this thing just appeared on the screen and screamed at you to terrify you. I literally flew across the room. I deserve that for watching something so disgusting.
Those.
Yeah, ridiculous.
I remember those.
To move on then from Steve Irwin, I guess, like, and kind of focus more then, I guess, on Charles III. How is it? Because you're in the Commonwealth. Is it a situation where you kind of like, be done with the royal family, or are you as insane as Great Britain is at the moment when it comes to the
Royalists aplenty around New Zealand, even among the so-called truth community here, and people have been making posts and things like that. They're absolutely surprised at how much support there is for the Queen. Now, I support the Queen for one reason. She was a great cousin to her husband.
People don't realise that, though. They genuinely don't realise that that's how related they are.
Is it really?
Yeah, her and Philip, cousins. What's funny is if that...
Oh, my God, I didn't even know this.
If that relationship happened on the local council estate, everyone would be like, do you know what I mean? Have them arrested. When it's your queen, it's fine.
Keep the bloodlines going.
Well, that's it. They don't want us plebs breeding with them, do they? It's mad. What about in Victoria, Vanos?
Interesting that you say that about the Queen. I had I'd come across a coin collection in my travels, and I decided to sell something called Queen Elizabeth Effigies Over Time. It's a coin collection from the Royal Mint, and this guy gets in touch with me on Facebook and he says, how dare you take advantage of the Queen's death, you know, you could have waited. I said, mate, you think I give two shits about the Queen and her pedophile family? And he was just, he had nothing to say, right? He was just like, you're actually calling the Queen a pedophile. And people are just so out of touch with what the royal family, you know, has actually done in terms of the disgusting things that they've actually done and you know, the people as a whole. A lot of people are talking about, you know, the Queen's funeral and stuff like that. And you know what? All it is whatever the TV's telling people to sympathize with, that's what they sympathize with. Ukrainian war, time for a blue flag with a yellow flag. Oh, the Queen's death. Let's all mourn the Queen, right? We all need to be together on this. It's like COVID. Oh, we're all like COVID. We're all vaccine. We're all vaccine. Yeah, I'm vaccinated. How about you? They're just virtual signaling assholes who will just jump on the bandwagon just so they fit in with the whole, because people don't are too scared to have their own identity and to speak their mind and afraid of what people will think of them. So everyone just goes along with it, no matter what rubbish is being spouted.
Yeah. This is interesting. You mentioned the vaccine, actually, because obviously that, I think, will be an interesting part of the next story. But also people asking if you're double jabbed. I honestly, that was a constant here. I don't know if you had that.
Like, oh, yeah,
I would go, like, I remember going once, I was in Alton, I went into a kebab house, not proud of it, but went in. and two guys at the door asked me if I was double jabbed. Like, wow. I'm not from Alton, so I don't know these guys. And then the couple behind, there were a Greek couple behind, asked me if I was double jabbed, to which I said, like, I ain't having that nonsense. And he said, it's fine, it's just a little bit of DNA in your arm, which I thought was great. He's done his research. and in the end, I ended up asking someone if they'd ever had a cancerous mole removed, to which they looked at me totally puzzled. I was like, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Asking questions like that. It's weird, asking about your health. What are you on about?
But, what I found weird yesterday, though, what I found weird yesterday, though, was that you had the first nurse who the nurse who gave the first vaccine walking along with a coffin. And to me, it's like, what is that saying? That's kind of saying, be loyal and the establishment will really protect you. You know, she's there. It's like, are they ever going to admit anything? Are they ever going to, are they just going to keep all these people protected? And it, to me, it's doubling down, really. It was doubling down yesterday to see her walk in with the coffin.
Or tripling down, quadrupling down, if you count the boosters. But the story from The Guardian was, you know, it was asking this question, wasn't it? Where are all these excess deaths coming from? You know, it's extraordinary. And I saw an opinion piece that was written by it's Devi Sridhar, isn't it? She's one of Klaus Schwab's young global leaders. She was rewarded very much for her services to the COVID cult. But I saw that she'd written an article about where are these excess deaths coming from. And I thought to myself, this should be good. And so I looked at it and I honestly got burnt by the gaslighting. It was like COVID. But it's like, but they're not COVID deaths. So it was NHS being underfunded. I don't know how much money it needs. And the kind of the fallout from COVID. No mention, obviously, of the, you know, the obvious. I'll start with you then, Vinny, because, you know, Vinny starts with the same letter as vaccine. Have you had the same thing there, where you've got all these excess deaths and the mainstream media are kind of trying to say, look over there, there's a raccoon, rather than actually have people focus on?
No, our mainstream media is so well controlled that we haven't even heard that there's been excess deaths. In fact, we had our suicide statistics sealed for several years when reports came out that they were way up. And the New Zealand government, in response to so-called propaganda or misinformation being spread on quote-unquote social media, have gifted $50 million to give to mainstream media outlets so that they can publish hit pieces on the alternative media who are trying to tell the truth. So no, we didn't hear about the excess deaths. I'm afraid they didn't even have to come up with a cover story to cover them up.
That's extraordinary. Well, how do they explain away, you know, hiding suicide rates for a number of years?
Well, that's the great thing about being in New Zealand, because we're a parliamentary sovereign dictatorship, which means that you can pass a law at 4 o'clock in the morning that basically gets rid of all your rights, just all of them, and nobody's allowed to argue, and it suddenly is law. You know, you can take people's guns in 14 days, just like that. You can take away their right to movement, just like that. You can take away their right to free speech. You can take away their right to earn a living. And as far as the parliamentary process and appeals and royal commissions are concerned, there ain't a gosh dang thing you can do about it.
It's extraordinary. I don't think people realise how far New Zealand's gone, do they?
No, I had no idea about that either. Naomi, how is it in Australia?
Hey, Thanos, I don't know. I don't think we've been told there are excess deaths, have we? I don't think so.
They wouldn't dare.
No, I don't think so. I mean, that piece in The Guardian, like as Gareth said, like I read that, you could write a thesis on that as a prime example of gaslighting and propaganda. And it is phenomenal to pull apart each paragraph. I mean, it even goes on to say that this is insane. So it's talking about the excess deaths over summer, yet it's saying that the cost of living crisis and concerns about fuel poverty will add to these factors, And so excess deaths may continue to occur in winter. I mean, it is insane. It goes all over the place, but it obviously brings in climate change as well. It ticks all the boxes. Like, everyone should read this piece and enjoy dissecting it. I did.
That's extraordinary. Climate change.
It's a testament to just how ignorant the world is, guys. That's what it is. It's a testament to just how ignorant people with intelligence are with what's blatantly obvious. It's like, let's look at a timeline. If this was about stress, these people would have started dying when we were in lockdown for 9 months before the vaccine was introduced, right? Absolutely. And they would have been dying by the truckload. We would have been having people dying, and myocarditis and pericarditis and all of these things they're saying are caused by stress would have been at the height of the stress, not after you let everyone out and then gave them your solution. And now all of a sudden everyone's got these health implications, which are unexplainable, and scientists and doctors are baffled. Scientists and doctors are not baffled. Scientists and doctors are either scared to speak out or paid off. You cannot be someone with a profession that you've been doing for all these years and not be able to look at cause and effect and see that there's a blatant, you know, indication there that something happened, a course of action took place when all of this occurred. And it happened after you introduced your solution. And they know it. And that's why they keep bringing out these articles, because even the normies now are starting to ask questions. The normies start asking questions, this is when people start getting scared. So they'll keep bringing out these articles because they need to explain why these people are dying. Sort of like in hospital, when there was more COVID deaths from the jabbed than the unjabbed, they had to come up with all of these explanations, because anyone with half a brain would go, hang on a second, why are the people with the solution dying more than the people that haven't been given the solution? That doesn't make any sense. When you have to bring out articles that explain that stuff, you know that you're in bad shape and the people are catching on. And this is just another prime example of that.
I mean, the Guardian's funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation anyway. It says it on it, you know, so they're not even trying to hide it. So that'll be part of it. But do you think, and I guess this question is to all of you actually, because I was thinking about this myself, and obviously to you, Lonnie, I was thinking like, I don't believe that every journalist or every editor is on the payroll. I don't believe that. I just don't. But do you think then that some of these that are kind of either keeping quiet or gaslighting, that they're actually not doing it because they're getting a bunch of money in the skyrocket, but it's actually a case of maybe they're terrified, because it's like, hang on, for 2 years I've been telling people through my news articles to go and do this, and now it's coming back that actually this is causing deaths and injuries and what have you, and actually... If I come out and say, oh yeah, no, it is the vaccine, everyone's going to turn on me and go, well, hang on, you told me it was safe and effective 9 months ago. So actually they're doubling down more out of fear.
Well, there's a number of different things to...
interesting way to look at it.
Well, a number of different interesting things to unpack there. And one of them is the old saying that it's impossible for somebody to understand something if their income depends on them not understanding it. All right. A lot of journalists, and I've talked to journalists, award-winning journalists, and they say that a lot of them are just airheads, right? And some of them just take the money. They know which side of the toast their bread is buttered, and that's what they report on. And Bill and Melinda Gates, you know, in terms of New Zealand here, is good friends with our Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, who recently gave like $1 billion to the media of a country with only 5 million people, just for advertising, COVID ads and things like that. They know which side of their bread to butter, and it isn't telling the truth about what's killing people, is it? And what I look at is this term, of course, cognitive dissonance, is that, yes, I'm doing this, but it's wrong. And I can't accept that it's wrong because I've got so much invested in it being right. People have to face themselves. And they don't face themselves not because of ignorance, as Vanos identified earlier, but because of indifference. They just don't really care enough to sacrifice, to go through hardship in order to do what is right. That is the difference between media like us and media like them.
I feel like when he delivers like a speech, it's like powerful as hell, isn't it? I'm like, I'm just like,
yeah, he does.
I just want to start clapping.
Well, thank you.
So what I saw, Edward Dowd, he's an analyst in America, he said that excess deaths now are about 40% up on when, since the jabs rollout, than, you know, when it was just COVID. And during a war, like say the Vietnam War, it would only be about 10%. Wow. So he said there's, you know, there's this huge discrepancy in what's going on. And we're seeing it's younger people. It's not the older people who might be dying of colds or old age. It's a lot younger people. You see the sport, so many sportsmen and women and, you know, really, really healthy people. And I feel like back in the day when it was all COVID, they would say, oh, unvaccinated person dies of COVID because it suited the narrative. But they're not saying unvaccinated or vaccinated here. They're like, let's keep it all silent. Let's pretend it's a mixture of everybody. But really, if you go down and you look at it, it is the vaccinated. So, you know, how they're trying. And I do think that a lot of journalists in mainstream are afraid to speak out because, you know, there's a couple that have, and they're under Ofcom investigations. Yeah. You've got crazy people just telling all their on social media, telling all their followers to report them to Ofcom and what have you. And so people, I think they are a little bit scared, but there's some that are just like, you know what, I'm not going to be a pom-pom girl for the establishment, and you know, they're just doing their thing.
Because you're referring then to the BBC, aren't you? Because GB News have been attacked a lot.
Really,
and it came, I remember you sent us a bunch of stuff. It came from a guy who's a BBC journalist who took to social media to try and get everyone. Basically, there's really one guy, Mark Stein, isn't there, really, in the UK, in what you call mainstream media, who's kind of questioning the whole narrative when it comes to excess deaths and the vaccine and X, Y, and Z. And so this guy from the BBC just went on an absolute rampage to try and, you know, basically get him reported to Ofcom and all this kind of stuff. And for me, I look at it and I think, I don't win an argument by shutting you up.
No.
I just kind of prove that I'm frightened of what you're going to say. And to tie that in, the next story, I mean, the BBC had, not only did they have like a vaccine injury group kicked off of Facebook, but then bragged about it, which is extraordinary to me. And I had sort of first-hand experience with this. When I gave a speech at Trafalgar Square, it went on to Facebook. It got like 3.8 million views at this point, which to me was just insane that anyone, that many people want to listen to me chatting. But the Times went to Facebook and had it deleted. The Times newspaper went to Facebook and had it deleted, then bragged about it in an article. And I'm thinking, in my naivety, mate, your job is just to report the news. Right. Your job is not to control the news. It's just to report it. So I'll start with you, Naomi. Obviously, you've spoken out about vaccine dangers and stuff like that over the years, even before the COVID stuff. How does it make you feel to think that there's, you know, a national broadcaster that's funded by the taxpayer that can just go in and take out a group of 250,000 people that have either vaccine injuries, know people with vaccine injuries, have lost loved ones through the vaccine? How does that make you feel to read an article like that?
Totally not surprised, because here in Australia we have the ABC, which are very similar to the BBC in that respect, and will just promote, obviously, the narrative. So when I was getting involved with the 5G stuff in 2019, one of our groups was growing quite rapidly. It was called Stop 5G Australia then. And it was beginning to attract attention, media attention. The ABC interviewed me for one of their documentaries, actually. But during that time, because we were aware that the group could get closed, we changed the name from Stop 5G Australia to Australians for Safe Technology, which as a name still had all the attention, but it slipped under the radar as being an activist group. We have found ways around that. Probably if it had continued to explode, though, at the levels that vaccine group was, obviously 200,000 people. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, we had offshoots of that main group as well as backups, local groups, because we just knew that any day it could get closed, shut down. Totally not surprised.
It's extraordinary that you have to live like that, isn't it?
And what's upsetting as well, I think, is that these people are people that can't usually find themselves any other way. Like, a lot of people only found out they had vaccine injuries because of social media. I know a story where there was a lady in hospital and her one of her relatives put on that she was in hospital with Guillain-Barre.
All right.
And it happened that somebody had an uncle who was in the hospital with the same thing. And now this is supposed to be a very, very rare, rare disease. But there were two people in hospital at the same time. And then they found out, you know, that there were actually more in that hospital. And so a lot of these people are getting together through social media. And that's the only way they can communicate, because everyone's so far apart, to share their stories when mainstream media won't. So what's happening over in New Zealand with that, Vinny?
Well, I remember one time I was on a show just after being arrested for protesting the lockdowns. And one of the show hosts said, I shouldn't have the right to do what I'm doing, as in broadcasting, right? And I was part of the New Zealand Public Party during the 2020 election in New Zealand, and Facebook censored the party's official website. Like, this is an official registered party. It censored their Facebook page 3 weeks before Election Day. Now, this is a huge thing, and I believe in the Christchurch mosque massacre, I got censored in the middle of a live stream the day after the Christchurch mosque massacre when I had Ole Damegaard to talk about false flaggery. So, yeah, on that front, are we surprised that they've shut down people's ability to congregate and talk about these things that are real, that are affecting them in such a horrible way that if more people saw them, that it could possibly tip the balance in some description? Of course they will do that. I mean, of course, you know, you don't let poisonous spiders run up your leg without squashing them, do you? And, you know, in New Zealand here, in terms of how many people we've actually got being medically injured, we don't really know. We've got a database called VAERS that, according to the Moan, the Ministry of Health says they only find about maybe 5% of these things actually wind up getting reported by their doctors. So whatever is going on out also, there, and from this 5%, we've had like over 16,000 reactions reporting.
The doctors, you're asking the person that administered the treatment to report the fact that the treatment caused an injury. I mean, that is a conflict of interest anyway, isn't it?
Well, precisely. Especially
not going to happen. Yeah.
Especially under New Zealand medical law, where the allegedly, according to Nicola Grace from Health Freedom New Zealand, doctors are allowed up to $100,000 per annum in kickbacks from the pharmaceutical industry.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, it's not a bad gig, is it? Thanos, I'm thinking like with this, like I obviously agree with Vinny and Naomi. I wasn't shocked that the BBC went to get this group cancelled. That doesn't shock me at all in the slightest. But I think what is more surprising now is how open and honest they are about doing it. Like maybe in the past they would go in the back door and say, you know, can you take that down, blah, blah, blah. And so you would, on the face of it, be all about free speech, whereas in the background you'd be cancelling it. Whereas now the BBC is just open, as the Times was open. Like, yeah, we did that.
Yeah,
we did.
I'm sure any day now, you know, one of the broadcasters would go, I'm going to go rape a goat in the back. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. You know, what's about to? It's just getting worse and worse. The sludge that is building up in the human race is just like bubbling to the surface. You know, it's like I don't know, smeared Marmite all over your nutsack. It's a sensation and a half.
Look, I'd like to chime in there in terms of when you get a group that has 250,000. The law of averages that kicks in after that, do you know how quickly that group would grow to, it wouldn't go from 250,000 to a million. It would go from 250,000 to like 10 million.
Yeah.
If that group was still allowed to grow. And when you have a mainstream media type of Facebook group that's been created, that's getting that much traction with these so-called rare occurrences, that could be detrimental to this whole very, very sensitive situation that we've got now. Because let's be honest, this whole vaccine thing at the moment, it's on a knife edge. And once the I like to call them the normies or those that are unaware, finally chime in. It's not going to be people just looking for answers. It's going to be a lot of angry people. And you're going to have, it's once that genie comes out of that bottle, you're not putting it back in the bottle. And you're talking a pretty serious situation afterwards. And cognitive dissonance is going to be something that's going to fall apart for a lot of people in terms of just how much they trust in the health system. The entire world would lose trust in the health system. The medical profession would be done. No one would ever listen to a doctor again and have any type of trust for what they're saying. And when it comes to anything that has to do with trust, once that trust is betrayed, it's very, very hard to get that trust back. And these people, they know that. So when they boast about these groups being shut down, they have to tell people that these groups are shut down and not just allowing them to be shut down. Because if they just went away and the BBC didn't say anything about it, people would actually start asking questions. Did the BBC have something to do with it?
So
what they do is they go, it got taken down.
Vanos, in the UK, they're admitting to some extent that the vaccines have caused deaths and injury. They're giving out payouts now to people that have it on their death certificate. And there are people that have, you know, the vaccine as the cause of death on their death certificate now. Do they have that in Australia? Have they admitted it? Anything at all that it could, yes, it could be the vaccine.
Yeah, they have, but once again, the taxpayer's flipping the bill. So
right,
yes, they are admitting that the pharmaceutical companies are at fault, but no money's coming out of the pharmaceutical companies' pockets. So you're destroying the lives of Australian people, and then the hardworking Australian people's money that they pay toward tax is going towards, you know, fixing the problem, so to speak. So it's absolutely just bonkers that you're hurting people. The pharmaceutical companies get off scot-free. And at the same time, our 30 cents to a dollar that we work hard to produce, that you take away willingly all the time, now you're going to give it towards the thing that you told us was safe and we had nothing to worry about. Right. What I don't understand is how people can't be just absolutely just outraged at what's going on at the moment. It just shows just how numb. I'm just beside myself at how fucking numb the world is to what's going on. How can you be so ignorant? It just blows my mind.
It's apathy, isn't it? And I recently developed a little bit of a liver problem. You know, they said that the liver's from a certain degree, one that's really good and three that's really bad. And I was like a 9. And I was like, oh, okay, let's do something about that. And it turns out that when you've got liver problems, it makes you apathetic, right? What causes liver problems? Pretty much everything in our Western diet and modern lifestyle does. What is it about our entire environment that is manufacturing apathy on a chemical level? There you go. Does this explain a whole lot of the behavior that you see?
That's a really good point. And the apathy is such a good explanation for stuff. Like we spoke 2 weeks ago, I think, about the cashless society. And my experience with the general public in terms of that is exactly that, apathy. I ain't bothered. I used cash for about a year, I ain't bothered. And they don't see then where that leads, you know, further down the line. But we're running out of time a bit, so we'll wrap up with the final story. Now, you sent me this, I think.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary. For people, it was all over social media. There's a teacher in Canada who has these giant prosthetic breasts. I mean, it's eye-watering. And people, like I said at the top of the show, might think, well, that's a bit of a nothing story, but it kind of opens the conversation, I think, about what, you know, what kids are exposed to at school. I'll start with you, Naomi. Obviously, you're a mother of two. You know, your kids, I think, are still in school. You know, how do you feel as a parent? Say, for instance, those photos came out of your children's school and you saw that.
You know, when I saw that, I haven't read the article on this or any article on it. I just saw pictures of that on Facebook this week. I thought it was spam. Like, I thought it was one of those articles that have those spammy, weird photos at the bottom. I didn't know that it was real, that this was a thing. So you're telling me this is a thing? Really?
This is a thing. And you sent an article with the school.
Well, this is a scary thing to me, is the school, of course, Canada, supported it. They backed him in his choice of what he wanted to do. And this is what blows my mind. This is a school environment. This isn't just some weird, crazy mental dude walking down the street with a pair of tits hanging down his belt, right? With false nipples put on. And like, this is an adult male walking into school with full makeup, a wig, and these enormous boobs that wants kids to assume that he's, and address him as a woman. It's like you said, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and the hot pants. I couldn't not look at the hot pants.
What? And it's like, and if you're going to go on about cultural appropriation and everything else, isn't this sexual appropriation? In fact, it's not, because it's not even close to being a woman. It's just this. It's like a complete insult to women if this is what you identify a woman as being.
Yeah, I'd like to see the interesting thing when you're wearing a shirt that's too tight and one of the fake nipples goes right off the thing.
It's not inclusion.
It's not inclusion.
It's definitely not inclusion. No, it's not inclusion, because have you noticed with all this whole agenda in terms of, you know, allowing kids to understand the sexual nature of people, how come there's no heterosexual part in all this? How come it's all drag queens? And have you noticed it's all the other side of the coin and nothing to do with just embracing your as you are, as a male or a female, or just the way God intended for you to procreate?
You know what,
it's the way Baphomet intends now, all right? That's why it's so baffling.
You know, Fanos, I think you've got such a good point there, because I was 20 years ago a page 3 girl, and apparently this was the most horrific thing a girl could do, show her own natural breasts. So we'll leave that aside. But the fact now that someone like Elliot Page, formerly Ellen Page, can go, you know, take up a whole page in the Daily Mail showing mastectomy scars, and then we have to think, and then with the headline, you know, brave. This is what kids are getting taught, that, you know, cut your boobs off, and that's a great brave thing. It's the whole world's just twisted and inverted, and this guy with his abnormally enormous fake boobs, it's just, you just think, what is happening?
Yeah, it is strange. It's interesting.
Is it a high school or a primary school?
This is a high school.
Is it a high school or primary school?
I think it's a high school. He was teaching woodwork at some point.
Of course it is. With the fake tits and teenage boys and woodwork, you know, I could see the connection.
It's, but when I was a kid, like, you would, you know, you would have mental, like, sort of, you know, periods where you'd be upset and whatever, and, you know, you go through stuff, especially as a teenager, puberty and that sort of stuff. And you were kind of taught to the brave bit, the winning, the final goal was to accept who you are and to love yourself for who you are, love, you know, all your perfect imperfections and all that kind of stuff. And now it's very much like, no, don't love yourself for who you are. Screw that. Cut them off. Whack a pair of these on and on you go.
Well, I mean, think about the very concept here that we're talking about, detachment from the self completely, that it matters more than what's on the outside, what matters is appearances rather than reality. And I call it hacking the reality stream. Essentially, at some point and during a conversation or a time in history, reality went in a straight line and it was very obvious to everyone. And then at some point, somebody fucked it up. And now it's over here, and we've got to get back to reality at some point.
Just quickly, in terms of stuff like Instagram and social media, how much that's played a part in that? Because probably for the last 10 years, 100%. People paused reality, actually, didn't they? And they went, no, I'm just going to show the world the best things. I'll take a photo of my dinner. I'll make sure I take a photo in the gym, otherwise no one knew I was there, you know. And it kind of, people lived in this photo, you know, you don't take a photo of yourself like having a, you know, sat on the toilet going, oh man, I'm struggling. Like, no, forget that bit's not real. That bit's not me. This is the bit I'm going to present myself to the world as, this perfectly polished, even if it's completely inaccurate and false, version of myself. People kind of got used to that for 10 years, and now you're in a position where you're telling them, actually, yeah, you can be a completely different version.
Yeah, the narcissism.
What I was going to say is that there is a degree in terms of, I don't understand why the intelligent people of this world aren't speaking up about this. Children are very malleable in terms of what you can do to a child in terms of their mind and make them believe. You could literally raise a child to become like an extreme terrorist who would walk in and just kill 100,000 people and not blink an eyelid, because they're raised to think that this is the way of life. And they do it because children are very malleable. You tell a child who doesn't know whether they want to be a princess or you know, drive a fire truck or whatever else, hey, you want to be a princess, you can be a princess for life. They're taking advantage of the fact of just how malleable children are, and children can be whatever you raise them to be. And their sense of reality is only as much as you allow it to be in terms of what you put in front of them. And they know this. So when you bring these psychopaths that are basically trying to groom children to allow them to be okay with sexualization from a very young age, it opens the door to that just insane MAPS. I don't know whether you guys have heard of the term MAPS, yeah. Minor Attractive Persons. Pedophile, where they're basically desensitizing people to what a pedophile is now, because let's be honest, that's who runs the world, a bunch of, you know, children sacrificing, blood-drinking pedophiles. It sounds absolutely just batshit crazy to say that, but it's the truth. And these people want to have their way of life accepted because, you know, that's how they'd love to have their life be. And you can see what these people are doing, but they understand, you know, you go back to Project Mockingbird and stuff like that. They understand just how easily you can shift the psyche of a human being by programming them from a very young age. And children are extremely, extremely malleable. And if you put a child on the same space as a computer program, it would be like Windows installing on a computer and then you go in and starting to write stuff over the original program that's being written that runs the whole system. And this is exactly what they're doing by coming into preschool and kindergarten and starting to fuck with kids' heads.
That's right. And think about the long-term plan here. As Yuri Bezmenov, the former KGB agent, said, he called it the process of demoralization. Think about how messed up kids are today, and then think about them getting 20 years older, starting to have kids of their own, and then thinking of them getting 20 years older and then being in power while they're kids, and think of them 20 years down the track, right? So over the next 40 years, you could experience a complete collapse in all fabric of reality and science and intelligence and the whole kind of thing. And that's what Yuri said, is said that it is a process. It takes generations, but by the time that this process of demoralization is complete, it is irreversible.
I think the fallout of so many of the things in society, you're right, you're not going to see for 20 years. You know, the fallout, the economic fallout from lockdowns and things like that, it's going to be years, isn't it?
In New Zealand, a third of local businesses, independent businesses, got shut down during the last 2 years of lockdowns.
No, I think there's pretty much the same in Britain. It's the same, and it's, you know, the big boys win, and the smaller guys are the ones that are suffering. It's almost like it's planned. But that's all for this week. Thank you to Naomi, Fanos, Vinny. It's been a great chat, actually.
And thank you all at home for tuning in. We'll see you next week with a brand new panel of guests. Good night.
That was great. Cheers.